about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Another gooey morning mess. Who needs that stress?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo!
Get this week's dog out of here. I'm hungry for the Brew Garden. Fabulous food, fine spirits, fantastic people. My home away from home. The Brew Garden.
Now hiring both locations.
All right, Timo, when is the next commercial coming out?
I have no idea.
He has no idea, so you advertisers out there, right? You're available?
Yeah, I am. Call me, call my agent.
What will you remember most about this whole experience, though?
The Brew Garden.
What a natural storyteller you are.
And now.
Hi, Allie. What have you been doing lately?
I don't know. Little E. Special K. Basically, whatever I can get my hands on.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 12th of September.
How you doing, Kevin?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I feel like ESPN owes me money. Other than that, I'm good.
Owes you money?
Yeah.
For?
Stealing my act.
Oh, no.
Did you see Sergio Dip? Last night on Monday Night Football.
I didn't see it live, but when he lit up the Twittersphere, I did watch the video.
First, I saw somebody tweet about it. I was having dinner or something and I missed it. I saw a tweet about it and I retweeted it immediately because it's gold. And then I thought, there's no way that's real.
Right.
It just can't be.
Yeah.
So somebody's just trolling. Maybe they added their own voice to the reporter to try and make it funny. Yeah. So I deleted that.
Oh.
And then I went to my DVR and I rewound slowly to make sure I didn't miss it. And I got to Sergio Dip.
Yeah.
And it's real.
Yeah. He was last night's sideline reporter during the Broncos game.
Yes.
And apparently has been at this since 2013.
Wow.
In Spanish.
Oh, okay.
So not
so on... Deportes?
Yes.
Okay.
So not necessarily in English, but he has been in front of the camera before.
He seemed frightened within an inch of his life.
Okay.
Which I can understand.
Got it.
He seemed confused.
Sure.
And he seemed excited all at the same time.
Oh.
Yes.
So trifecta.
Right.
Okay.
So this is Sergio Dip, and he's talking about the head coach of the Broncos, who is Vance Joseph. It was his first game as the head coach. Mm-hmm. And they come back from a commercial break, and they throw it to him.
Here's Sergio Dip.
Beth, Coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys. Here on the field, from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL. And here he is, having the time of his life. This night, making his head coaching debut.
Okay.
So that's... And I think what I found weird about it, because I watched it 1,000 times.
Sure.
What I found weird about it is the syllables that he chooses to...
Yeah. And the emphasis on such syllables. Yeah, it was questionable at best. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Was that the only time he was on?
I don't know for sure.
Because that's all I saw.
I'm guessing that was his first Monday Night Football report and his last.
And his last.
I hope not, though.
Here's the thing. If ESPN was smart, they would have had a Beth in the booth or Rex Ryan saying, coming up next, we're going to have, what's his name, Sergio Dip? Sergio Dip coming up after the break. Twitter would light up. All eyeballs would be on ESPN. They'd finally get some of their ratings back. But no.
So you're saying they didn't capitalize his badness?
They didn't capitalize on how many eyeballs were on that game because of that moment.
Why wouldn't they have said something like, we'd like to welcome Sergio Dip to the Monday Night Football team who normally works on Deportes? I mean, give a little tiny introduction to the guy.
I don't think so.
Just the camera went on him and it was just...
Here's Sergio Dip.
Beth, Coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys. here on the field.
Okay, see, I mean, that's just, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field.
Yeah.
That
and was odd. And calling Rex Ryan, hey, coach.
Sure.
Like, oh, yeah. First of all, A, he's throwing to Sergio Dipp, but Sergio Dipp is like, I just got Rex Ryan tossing it to me.
Sure, there's that.
That's bad in itself.
Right.
Because Rex Ryan.
Right.
Sweet Lord. He should be thankful for Sergio Dipp last night because...
He was awful.
Hot damn, he's horrible.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Yeah. Wow.
But I'm saying they stole my act. Like, I've been using the wrong syllables and saying things the wrong way for a long, long time. Yeah. Like, I've honed that act.
Right.
I'd like to say act. And they could have me.
They could.
Right? I could do that.
Yeah, sure.
Plus, I'm available.
From up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL. And here he is, having the time of his life this night, making his head coaching debut.
Here's what I think happened.
Yes.
A little rattled at first, and then he got in his head like, oh God, this is going so bad.
Right.
And then knew he had to say something about head coaching debut, what's his background, throw a couple of those things in. Then the crowd ramped up, and he's like, ah, it's getting so loud.
Right.
What's happening?
Well, the game was going on.
Right, yeah. Sure. He should probably know that might happen. But then he's just like, what do I say? Having the time of his life.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet spirit.
Yeah. Listen, no one understands what that feels like more than me.
Yes.
I mean, I was watching that guy and I was just going, oh, that poor bastard. he's just going to, because if that was me, all of my friends would send a video of that to me every day for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
I have a feeling he will see that video a lot.
You think so?
Yeah. I think since he was the number one U.S. trend on Twitter within 6 minutes.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Until Ted Cruz.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying, Ted?
What did Ted Cruz do?
Ted liked a porn tweet. And when I say a porn tweet, a 2-minute video of straight up porn. I watched it.
Did he?
It's great. I have a lot of questions about it.
But. Do you think he knows did that?
Before I left home, he still had not deleted it.
Wow.
But there's already articles written about it. Like, Ted, hey.
Somebody didn't hack him or anything?
Well, he was hacking something. I don't know. It's just very... He at least waited until it wasn't 9/11 anymore because it was after midnight East Coast time. So,
and it's after midnight.
That was good.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sergio Dipp just got replaced by...
He did, by Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz. It's kind of a bummer. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
I just don't care at all.
Comedian Ari Shaffir is in studio. He's got two different specials on Netflix called Double Negative. One about children, one about adults.
Hmm.
He starts off his children chunk, his entire 45 minutes or however long it is, by saying, children are garbage. And then he goes on from there.
Yeah, he doesn't want kids.
No.
And he makes that very, very known.
Not
and he doesn't really want his friends to have kids.
Right.
Even when they're pregnant.
Or, sure, yeah, that's correct as well, yeah. I don't know if you saw, but the Pope got in a Pope-mobile accident and got a black eye.
Oh, no.
I think it was Colombia. So we're going to look into that today. We sent our man Lightning out on the street to talk to people about the scariest movie they've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was such a huge phenomenon this weekend. Some of the answers you would expect.
Sure.
And we'll hear this tape just after 6. And some of them are movies I've never, not only not seen, but never heard of.
Really?
Yeah. So that was a little shocking.
Huh.
We have tickets for you to see Prophets of Rage in the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock.
Nice.
How exciting is that? We're going to play a game in the 6 o'clock hour. And also, Petros Papadakis joins us along with Ralph Garman for the Bachelor in Paradise report. That's all coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz. LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52. Ralph Garman is here now for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Don't forget tonight, the big TV event, Hand in Hand, a benefit for hurricane relief, which is set to air on... Everywhere, basically. ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox have all agreed to set aside their regularly scheduled programming to put this live event on. The cable networks Bravo, HBO, MTV, CMT, Oxygen, show will also be live streamed as well on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. It's going to be airing live from several locations around the country. Times Square in New York City, Universal Studios here in L.A., the Grand Ole Opry House in Nashville, the Majestic Theater in San Antonio. They are, it was for raising hurricane relief for everyone who was suffering down in Texas, but now in the wake of Irma, Florida will also be a recipient. Here's who's participating. If any of these names catch your fancy, you might want to tune in tonight. Anthony Anderson, a young lady named Beyonce will be on hand.
I'm sorry?
You heard me.
Anthony Anderson.
Anthony okay. Anderson.
Mm-hmm. I'm in.
Justin Bieber, Connie Britton, George Clooney, Stephen Colbert, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Doo-Wah Diddy, Sean Combs, Terry Crews, Billy Crystal, Ellen DeGeneres, Robert De Niro, Drake, Jamie Foxx, Richard Gere, Tom Hanks,
wow,
Marcia Gay Harden, Faith Hill, Kate Hudson, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Joe Jonas, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Nicole Kidman, Carly Kloss, Matt Lauer, Jay Leno, Jared Leto, Eva Longoria, Rob Lowe, Matthew McConaughey, Tim McGraw, Tracy Morgan, Dennis Quaid, Questlove, Jeremy Renner, Julia Roberts,
wow,
Kelly Rowland, Adam Sandler, Ryan Seacrest, Blake Shelton, David Spade, Gwen Stefani, Michael Strahan, Barbara Streisand, Sofia Vergara, Kerry Washington, Oprah Winfrey, Rita Wilson, yeah, and Reese Witherspoon. As if these people haven't suffered
what
enough.
What is your problem?
As if these victims haven't been through enough now, they have to deal with having Reese Witherspoon's mug.
Why do you not like her so much?
Oh, it's the worst, right?
Why?
No.
I think we all agree.
We do not.
Thanks for having my back. I appreciate it.
We're asking. Why?
So they're raising money for hurricane relief and to stop Reese Witherspoon from showing up in places.
I don't think
that's
that
part of
this.
That's part of why they're raising money.
Oh, you forgot.
Count Smokey Law.
Smokey had to cancel.
Oh, that's a shame.
Speaking of the hurricanes, a lot of tangential show business related issues are starting to clear up. For example, Walt Disney World and Universal Studios down there in Orlando, as you can imagine, they had to close up. But they will be reopening today with their normal operating hours. Apparently, Orlando didn't get hit too badly. Legoland in Winter Haven, Florida is going to be reopening on Thursday. The Carnival and Royal Caribbean cruise lines. Forget about the cruise ships.
Oh, yeah.
In these situations, they can't go anywhere, do anything. They lost a lot of money. They will resume sailing today. A lot of shows that film in the South had to shut up production. The Walking Dead, for example.
Oh, wow.
Which shoots in Georgia. They had to take precautions and close up production in case they got hit by Hurricane Irma. The Originals, CW show, shut down. Till further notice. Two Avengers films.
Wow.
Avengers Infinity War and Ant-Man and the Wasp were shooting at Pinewood Studios there in Atlanta. They shut down production as well. So everything's just starting to gear up again in the wake of that storm having passed. But even show business, man, has to take a backseat to Mother Nature. Booyah! Demi Lovato may have a new girlfriend? Yeah, how about that? Demi Lovato was seen walking hand-in-hand, looking very romantic with a young lady at Disneyland over the weekend. It's the happiest lesbian place in the world, really.
I've said it for years, yeah.
The woman is a Los Angeles DJ that goes by the name of Kittens. DJ wow. Kittens. So Demi Lovato, not the first lonely single woman to get a cat.
Oh,
wow. Is that the only reason you did the story?
In a long
guaranteed.
Line. No, because Demi Lovato's got a hot DJ girlfriend. That's why I did the story.
Okay.
Dumbass. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jennifer Hudson's 35 years old today. Emmy Rossum turns 30. Louis C.K. turns 49 years old. Our buddy Benjamin McKenzie of Gotham fame. He's 38. I think of Benjamin McKenzie. Started off on the OC, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little heart-throbby kind of teen idol guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then just earned his bones on Southland. Just became an amazing.
He was great
on television amazing. Actor on that show. And now mm-hmm. he's the star of Gotham.
Yep.
Yeah.
What a career path he's had. All right.
He's not sure well. Why your voice
no
is
one's
so
arguing.
High.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Okay.
Hans Zimmer's 59 years old today. You know, when I think of composers, I think of John Williams, other guys.
That's when Muggs interviewed him.
Hans Zimmer's 59. Busy Bone.
Busy.
Wasn't that your rap name, Kevin?
No, it was Dizzy.
Oh, you were Dizzy Bone. That's right. Of Bone Thugs and Harmony is 40 years old. And drummer Neil Peart. Legendary Canadian rock band Rush.
Sorry, that was my Geddy Lee.
It was beautiful.
Thank you.
Lovely. He is 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I saw It over the weekend and loved it so much and realized that this is the second time in 1 year that there have been great, scary movies. The first one being Get Out.
So good.
Oh, and it was so good. And I loved it so much. Most of the time what happens with scary movies is they spend 80% of the movie setting it up, and then you're waiting for a huge payoff, and I'd say most of the time they fail.
Okay.
They don't really come through. This one, you start out by seeing Pennywise first thing, and spoiler alert, Georgie is limbed down.
Did you see the Italian version? Or
I think his name is Georgie.
Okay.
He's a limb down, and that's 10 minutes in.
Yeah, so they got right to it.
They don't wait. They don't tease it and make everything look scary that isn't. They actually told a story that involved a scary clown that was attacking kids, and it was really well done. And the comedy, which they always try to throw in horror movies, worked.
Right.
Landed. Didn't seem unnatural. The kids were great actors. Skarsgård was great as Pennywise. It was just so good. So we have a feature on the show called Lightning Strikes, where he goes out on the street, our man Lightning. And we had him go out over the weekend and ask people what their favorite scary movie is.
Lightning can be deadly. Don't take chances with lightning. Stay safe.
Everybody say hey!
Lightning is violent and unpredictable.
Everybody say ho!
Even today, nobody fully understands the effect lightning has on its victims.
Everybody scream!
When lightning strikes, people listen.
So the movie It, you've seen the trailers.
Yes. Right. Yes, I've seen the trailers.
It killed it in the box office this weekend. What's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Probably the original It.
I'm every nightmare you've ever had. I am your worst dream come true. I'm everything you ever were afraid of.
Either that or one of the Nightmare on Elm Streets.
You are all my children now.
What's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
The Shining.
Here's Johnny.
Annabelle scared me.
Annabelle number two.
Yeah, the one that came out. Yeah.
You help me. What do you need?
Are you going to go see It?
I want to, but...
You're not sure. Why are you debating?
It's rated R.
Right. Oh, so you're not old enough?
No.
How'd you see Annabelle? That was rated R, wasn't it?
I went with my mom.
Oh!
Yeah.
Your mom's a bad influence. What's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Probably Stephen King's Pet Sematary.
I'm going to twist your back like mine so you'll never get out of bed again. Never get out of bed again. Never get out of bed again!
White Noise.
White Noise, I've never heard of that.
Oh my God, that movie made me like, I lived by myself at the time and I didn't even want to go home by myself.
It is the voice of Ruth Baxter. This voice was recorded in August 2003. Ruth Baxter died in 1987.
The Ring would be the scariest movie, I think.
And why?
Just creepy coming out of the television. Little girls, like, we have children and stuff. So you think that little child, you wake up and your kid's walking down the hallway with an axe or something, you know? Creep you out.
Wait, your kids do sleepwalking?
Oh, yes. This one right here sleepwalks.
So your little girl comes in the door and that's all you see is images of the Ring.
Yep, exactly. With the hair down in the face and everything.
7 days.
It is disgusting.
The whole thing, it. It's just disgusting.
What's disgusting?
It's scary, gross.
I mean, the fact that he's in the sewer? What do you mean? Come here. Don't run away.
First scary movie I saw was Signs, the alien one, and it really scared me a lot.
What's the matter?
There's a monster outside my room. Can I have a glass of water?
I think when I was 5, I saw The Birds, and I was just too little to see that movie, and it freaked me out.
You haven't seen any scary movies since?
No.
The Birds is the one that ruined it all for you?
Yes.
Birds.
Yes.
Who are you? What are you? Where did you come from? I think you're the cause of all this. I think you're evil.
Jackson, your girlfriend tells me you guys just saw It. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is it the scariest movie you've ever seen?
I'm going to give it a solid 9. The movie...
Really? A 9?
Pennywise, that made him super creepy.
Oh, well, I'm Pennywise the Dancing Clown.
And then as far as the scariest movie, I don't know. Hey, Omar still works for you guys, right?
Yeah, why?
Scariest movie I've ever seen is Cucamonga Heat.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm gonna take care of them, dude. All right, so I'm gonna send you to go make a fake drug deal. All right, I want you to take care of this for me, man. All right, yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty. All right. Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross.
Oh, my God.
I think that was a high school project that Omar made with VCRs, and the sound effects were spectacular.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
At one point, they put a gun to a guy's head, and you hear, I don't know, 13 gunshots.
Yeah.
And the gun's to his head, and he's just kneeling the whole time.
Huh.
And then after the 13 bullets, he falls over.
Well, that 13th one was very strong.
It was pretty good. Yeah. But you should look that up. No one said Exorcist.
How did nobody say Exorcist?
I was shocked by that. No one said any of the Halloween movies. I was shocked by that. But it is a strong 9, a 9 plus if you'd like to go see it and you haven't yet. You should see it this week. Very excited about Prophets of Rage coming to the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. Of course, it's the three members of Rage Against the Machine. Without Zach, it's Be Real and Chuck D. And they're all coming here to perform.
Yeah.
So exciting. We're going to play a game right now. If you want to call, it's 1-800-520-1067. And we're going to play...
Just a second!
That's the game we're going to play. We're going to use four different bands. We're going to use Prophets of Rage. Mm-hmm. We're going to use Cypress Hill.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to use Public Enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to use Rage Against the Machine.
Okay.
So you're just going to get the very first second of a song. We'll play it for you twice, and then you have to identify what song that is. All right, let's begin with Adrian in Mentone. Hi, Adrian.
What's going down? Top of the morning.
Giving away tickets to see Prophets of Rage. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's your second. Good luck. One more time.
Is that He Got Game?
I'm sorry, that's Prophets of Rage, Living on the 110. All right, thank you for playing, though. Let's go to Richard in Glendora. Hi, Richard.
What's up, guys? What's happening?
I'll tell you what's happening.
Just a second!
Are you ready?
I'll do my best.
All right, I think this one's... Unfortunately, a little easier than the last one. So sorry to the last guy, but this one's, I think you'll get.
Were you trying to get crazy?
One more time.
Were you?
It's Cypress Hill.
Yes.
And trying to get crazy local.
The name of the song is?
Is I'm Out, Dude.
Local?
Oh, it's Insane in the Brain.
Ah!
Were you trying to get crazy with this thing? Don't you know I'm loco?
Love that song so much. All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to Eric in Studio City. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Are you ready to play the game? I'm going to play you 1 second of a song. I'll play it twice, and then you have to identify it.
Okay.
Here you go. One more time. What song is that?
Cypress.
Yes.
Hang on.
Cypress is correct.
And it's going to be...
Oh, man.
Oh, jeez.
Cypress Hill. Just name a Cypress Hill song.
I know it.
Yeah, that's Rock Superstar.
Yeah,
sorry. All right, let's go to Chris in Long Beach. Hi, Chris.
I think Chris is going to get this.
Do you?
Yeah, I feel good about it.
Chris, hi.
Good morning.
Are you ready?
I think so.
All right, we've had three contestants so far. No one has gotten it yet, but here's your just a second.
Bass! How?
One more time.
Bass! How?
All right. Identify that song.
Oh,
space, how low can you go?
Right.
Huh?
Right. Those are the lyrics.
Oh, man.
Identify the song. Well, start with band.
It's Public Enemy.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Now, song title.
Kind of their biggest one. If you just want to name that one. With your mouth hole?
I don't got it. Thanks.
It's called Bring the Noise.
Space! How low can you go? Death roll!
All right.
This is...
It's going well.
No.
It's not going
okay,
well.
Okay, I will tell you this. Alex is getting this.
You think so?
All absolutely.
Right. Alex in Santa Fe Springs. Hi.
Yeah, he's getting this.
Allie's right. I'm getting this.
All You're
right.
getting it. I feel good about it, Alex.
Here you go. Good luck. One more time.
Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name.
Nicely done. Hold on. Ellie, if you say that about everybody, you're going to be right eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah. Oscar and Whittier, hi.
Hey.
All right, are you ready?
Yep, let's do it.
We're playing.
Just a second.
Here's your second. I mean, come on, man.
Getting stuck. Hold on.
Oscar, come on, man.
Oh, Renegade of Funk?
Sorry, that's Killing in the Name.
No.
What?
It's not. That's Bullet in the Head.
Bullet in the Head. Oops. Bullet in the Head.
What's happening? What just happened?
It's Bullet in the Head. Okay.
Whew.
Yes. Let's try one more. Let's go to Francisco in East Los Angeles. Hi, Francisco.
What to do?
Usually, just a second.
Just a second!
Isn't quite this hard. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, identify this band and song. One more time.
Rage Against the Machine, Bullet in the Head?
Yes, that's correct.
Wait.
Yes, because the last
Did
one...
Did we skip it?
The last one wasn't on my list. That's what happened. So the last clip that we played wasn't on the list that I had. It was Bulls on Parade.
So none of us were right.
I mean, so none of us were right.
Okay. Yeah. So Francisco's right?
Well, yes, Francisco
is right.
Okay, so
it's between Francisco
and
Alex.
So we had a draw between Francisco and Alex.
Holy crap. This didn't go well.
First, I misidentified the song. Uh-huh. Then I read the correct title, which was written down wrong for me. So that's how that went. All right, who do we have?
Good Lord. Right? All right. Switching it up. The winner is Alex.
Alex. Congratulations, Alex.
Yeah, all right.
You are going to be here at K-Rock for Prophets of Rage in the HD radio sound space. Enjoy the show, and thanks for playing the game. Coming up an hour from now, the Bachelor in Paradise report. I believe last night was the finale.
Yeah, people were freaking out, by the way.
Because, is that right?
Well, because the football game was on.
Right.
So BIP had to say where you could find the show on different channels. People were losing their mind in Los Angeles.
I didn't know that because I was watching football.
Oh, yes. Yeah, people were losing their minds.
But Ralph and Petros watched it, and they will give us an update. Plus, we've got comedian Ari Shaffir coming in the 8 o'clock hour.
You're right.
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. We're not on the air yet, right?
Nope, we're fine.
Yesterday in the Showbiz Beat, Ralph did a story about Ozzy Osbourne and his son Jack and their series, their reality series, Ozzy and Jack's World Detour.
Yeah.
And he said, great news, everybody. It's been renewed.
And I had no idea there was a show.
Same.
And Ralph actually said he watched it. It's him and Jack, and they kind of go to pretty awesome places, Mount Rushmore, Stonehenge, and tour around and show you what's happening.
I would have totally watched this show if I knew it was
right?
on. But I did not. So that was season one. Mm-hmm. Now it's moving to A&E, and they are greenlit for a season two. And we thought maybe this is a good time to catch up with Ozzy Osbourne.
Sure.
Good morning, Ozzy.
Hello.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm who's this?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin and Bean
Kevin and Beans, I was on the phone for you.
No, we're Kevin and Bean. I'm Allie.
You're Kevin and Bean? Personality.
Little bit, yeah. Hey, Ozzy, how's it going?
It's going well. Are you Kevin or Bean?
I'm actually Allie. Thank you.
You said you were Kevin and Bean.
I did. Kevin and Bean is the name of the show. I'm just here.
Allie!
Nope. Ozzy, I'm Allie.
Nazi? What?
Nope.
No.
I'm not a Nazi.
No, you are not, Ozzy.
No, we want to talk to you about your reality TV show with your son, Jack. Do you remember
Jack,
that? No.
Just a Nazi wants to talk to you.
No.
Jack. Ozzy. Jack isn't here to take a message.
Ozzy, you went with your son, Jack, season one.
Jack.
You went to Stone.
Someone just called for you. I'm glad you called.
No.
This is not Jack.
This is the Kevin and Beach.
Now you're saying you're not my son?
I'm not your son.
Jack is definitely your son. You're talking to Kevin from Kevin and Bean.
I don't have a son called Kevin.
No. Okay. All right. Listen. The reality show that you did with Jack, I'm going to list some places you went, and you tell me your impressions of them. One is
I don't do impressions.
What are your thoughts on visiting Mount Rushmore? Was that a...
Oh, Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mount...
Right, okay. You went to
Stonehenge. You go very fast.
You went to Stonehenge?
Yes, there's Stonehenge is a group of stones. There's Mick, there's Keith.
Nope. Those are the Rolling
Brian,
Stones.
Brian. There's Jack.
There's a Brian.
Jack is your son.
So you went to the Alamo?
Jack Stone.
You went to the Alamo?
He'll fight for you.
I don't remember the Alamo.
Right.
Do? Tell us about it.
I said I don't remember.
Oh, you don't?
Oh,
okay.
No.
All right.
Making me try to remember things.
No wonder they took you off History Channel and put you on A&E. But season two is going to be on A&E. What can you tell us about season two?
Season two.
Yes.
Jack's my son.
Right.
We're going to go traveling around the world and going to places.
Right.
Special places. We're going to... He's like, oh, look at that.
Like what? Such as?
We're going to... what's the place that have all the food?
A place with all the food?
A mall?
Yes.
A food court?
A mall.
He's disgusted with
we're
you.
We're going to the mall, which is famous for having all the food.
Doesn't sound right.
You were doing more drugs than I have. You sound worse than me.
Right.
LA OC's alternative rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 7 o'clock. Ralph, how was the Best Room Paradise last
night? It was awesome.
Awesome ending?
It was terrific.
Big finale. Everybody happy?
No one happy. Barely anyone happy. A group of very unhappy people at the end. People who seem to have a lot of regrets.
We have the Bachelor in Paradise report coming up in the next hour. First, Ralph is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Happy anniversary, everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anniversary.
What are we celebrating?
Of the Monkees. On this day in 1966, the Monkees first appeared on television.
Sure.
The Monkees.
Yeah.
Right?
Daydream Believer.
Yeah.
Right?
Monkees.
Boom. Here we come, walking down the street.
Get the funniest looks from
everyone
we meet.
The Monkees.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to keep yelling Monkees till he plays the theme.
What's happening?
Here we come.
Right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves the Monkees.
I didn't really watch it.
Hey, we're the Monkees. People say we're monkey around. How can the monkey not like the Monkees?
Yeah, he's too busy
He's a monkey. He should have loved the Monkees.
Shut up.
I just didn't. I didn't watch it.
Those guys are the best.
I don't know if you can even see him on television anymore. That was a good time.
Yeah.
A lot of people grew up with the Monkees, watching as kids.
I didn't know the Monkees until they were on the Brady Bunch, and Davy Jones kissed Marsha.
How about the flip side?
She wasn't going to wash her face again.
That's right.
Yeah. It's good times.
It is the number one movie in the world right now. As we mentioned yesterday, grossed over $123 million. That makes it the third largest opening weekend of the year. Not only is it the biggest horror movie opening ever, but the third highest for the entire year.
Wow.
You know what other two films were ahead of it? bigger weekends? Who had bigger weekends? Nope. Oh. Not Wonder Woman.
Bigger weekends?
Hmm.
Who had bigger opening weekends than It? Only two films.
Star Wars, A New Hope.
Nope. A New Hope, 1977?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, we're talking about this year.
God.
The Emoji Movie.
Yes, this year. This year, there were two films who had bigger opening weekends than It.
And not Wonder Woman.
Okay. Were there any other superheroes? Are we in the right world?
No, you both are not in the right world. Because you're in mine. And I'd like you to get out of my world.
Is it animated? Animated movie?
Neither one is animated.
Okay. No. Wow.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Sure.
No, don't say sure. Okay. No, you both were guessing.
We said superheroes.
Emoji Movie and Wonder Woman.
It is superheroes. All right.
And Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, of course.
Beauty and the Beast. Not of course, again, because you didn't say
it. No, I'm saying I didn't come up with it, but I should have.
I feel like that was last year for some reason. I know it wasn't.
It's not.
And I know I've actually answered Beauty and the Beast correctly in the past, yet I still can't remember it. Do you think it's weed?
A lot of people are afraid of clowns, of course. A lot of people talking about that fear because of the success of It. Well, if you are a person that's afraid of clowns, congratulations. Dr. Steve Scholzman, who teaches psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. That's a pretty good school, sure. I would think. So he knows what he's talking about. He says that people who are afraid of clowns have an excellent reason to be so. He said it's part of a primal instinct in our lizard brain called pattern recognition.
Okay.
He says pattern recognition allows people to take caution when things are just a bit off. Some people call it your spidey senses. When something just seems wrong, there's a greater possibility of danger, and so you just naturally, instinctually respond in that way.
Huh. So the over-the-top makeup and everything, the smile
that's
painted on.
Well, they say clowns are based on human shapes, but they're tweaked with the coloration. As Kevin mentioned, the permanent smile, meaning you never know what they're up to. There's something off about clowns.
Huh.
And that causes your brain at a very instinctual level to recognize there's a greater potential for danger.
That's interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the doctor was telling everybody there's nothing to be afraid of.
No.
That's where
well,
I thought
there is
story
nothing
was
to
going.
Be afraid of.
But except for clowns.
No, not you don't
he
have to be
said,
afraid of clowns.
Be afraid of clowns.
He didn't say that at all. He said, if you are afraid of clowns...
I heard an entertainment reporter just say that.
No, it makes perfect sense because of this primal instinct. However, he said it's easy to compensate for that with the intellectual side of our brain.
Okay.
And not let the primal lizard brain take control.
It's science.
So there really is nothing to be afraid of. Everyone relax. You should be much more afraid of partying at the zoo. Right?
What? Huh?
You didn't hear about the Lehigh Valley Zoo party?
No.
They had their brew at the zoo party?
Oh, no.
Nothing better combination than beer and animals.
What got loose?
Uh-oh. A bobcat.
No!
Yeah, about 2,000 people showed up at the Lehigh Valley Zoo in Pennsylvania, and they had to be rushed to safety after a bobcat got out of her enclosure.
Uh-oh.
Shiska.
Sure.
The 18-year-old bobcat who's lived at the zoo her whole life. Found a gap between a tree and a fence. Here's the thing. If you're a zoo, don't have any gaps between trees and fences.
It does seem like that's
make
the first
the fence
thing.
Go all the way to the tree. Wrap it around the tree just to be safe. Dumb zoo. So she got out and terrorized a bunch of drunk people in Pennsylvania. But all was well. No one got hurt. Shiksa was captured and returned. Dude, not Shiksa.
Shiska. I'm like, really, Shiksa?
Shiska was... She was... caught with tranquilizers, and they put her back in the pen, and everyone else had a lot of beer, so they were all tranquilized. You know this BBC One live lounge? This is the thing where they have a lot of celebrity singer-songwriters come in.
Yep. Love it.
Do their interviews, and one of the prerequisites of appearing on this program is you got to do a cover song.
Mm-hmm.
And you get some really interesting mixes of styles and singers by requesting this of them. And it's always fascinating.
My favorite so far has been the Foo Fighters doing AC/DC's Let There Be Rock.
That was pretty cool.
That was great.
Yeah. Here's one you wouldn't expect. Harry Styles, of course, One Direction fame. He appeared on their show. I got to tell you, this kid, he's got some talent.
He really does.
I'm telling you, his album is amazing. It's really good.
He was on there to promote that album, and they said, you got to do your cover. And so he chose a song from Fleetwood Mac off their Rumors album called The Chain.
Mm-hmm.
And kid delivered, I got to tell you, with the help of his backup keyboard player, Claire Yushima, and drummer Sarah Jones. He's got a female drummer who's just terrific. Anyway, here's a little taste of Fleetwood Mac's The Chain. It's done by Harry Styles.
Break the silence, down the dark, down the light. And if you don't love me now, you will never love me again. I can still hear you say you would never break the chain. If you don't love me now.
I love
good
that
he
kid.
Sound.
You know that Stevie Nicks joined him at the Troubadour, and they did duets together. Like,
no!
Unbelievable.
I did not know that.
That's true. I just
what you cooking?
Fruitcake?
Yeah, fruitcake.
Who needed to get out of One Direction more than him?
Oh, he's such a talent.
He's so the opposite of that band.
He's got a lot going on, that kid. Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays today. 2 Chainz. He's 39 years old today. What do you buy for a guy who's got 2 Chainz?
Mm.
Can't buy him another chain. He's got to change his whole name, his act, and everything.
Who else?
Jennifer Hudson's 35.
Jay Hutz!
Jay Hutz!
Jay Hutz!
Jay Hutz!
Can I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz? Jay Hutz!
Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz!
By the way, does she go by Jay Hutz? Why is he yelling
that? She doesn't even go by Jay Hutz, which
right.
would be her nickname, but it's a D, not a T.
Why was he yelling that?
Why was he saying he was going to sing a song for her? She's not a judge of a reality show or anything. She's a singer in her own right.
Yeah.
None of it makes any sense. Emmy Rossum, of course, from Shameless, 30 years old today. Louis C.K.'s 49. Can't believe he's only 49, but right?
Just like, I mean, he
it's
doesn't...
a bad-looking 49.
Look great.
He should be, like, 58.
I thought he was in his 50s.
Yeah, had to be, right? Benjamin McKenzie's 38 years old today. Model and actress Elisabetta Canales. Hey, how you doing, Elisabetta? She's 39. Hans Zimmer is 59. Busy Bone of Bone Thugs and Harmony is 40 years old. And Neil Peart from the band Rush. No, his mind is not for rent. He's 65 years old today. I don't think he's drummer anymore. Is he? He's not drumming anymore, is he?
I don't think so.
He quit.
Did he quit?
Quit drumming. Yeah.
Okay.
It's too hard. Drumming too hard.
It's too hard.
It is. It's 65. Just sit out. Stop drumming.
Well, you sit when you drum.
Yeah, but your arms are going. Blah, 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 blah.
It's true.
Just turn on the TV.
I'm Rob Garman. It actually sounded like Rush.
I'm Rob Garman. I walk the show with beat.
Luke Howard is the name of the guy who was heartbroken in England, and he decided that he was going to win his woman back. He had her for 4 months. They broke up. He was shattered.
4 whole months?
4 months.
Wow.
Said changed his life. Everything was going great.
Oh, dear.
He said.
Here we go.
Obviously, she didn't feel the same. But he decided that what he was going to do is he was going to play piano nonstop in College Green, Bristol. So he sets up his piano in a park.
Okay.
And he says, I'm going to continue playing this piano.
Mm-hmm.
Rain, snow, sleet, hail, nothing can drive me from this. And I will do it until she realizes how much I miss her and she comes back to me.
Oh, dear.
That's red flag, right?
That's boil your bunny type of stuff. I won't be ignored, Dan.
But he seems relatively harmless. He's just sitting there. He's just a heartbroken dude.
Okay.
We're going to take your calls in a second on last ditch efforts you did to get somebody back.
Okay.
What did you do when you had nothing else? You could think of nothing else, and you had to get somebody back. What steps did you take to get to make that happen? So this guy goes in the park, and he's going to play the piano. He's not going to stop until he gets her attention. What he doesn't realize in this Instagram video is that there's a giant protest going on in the same park.
Protesting his playing?
No.
Oh.
No, not at all. But it is the reason that you can't hear his playing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's completely drowning him out. There's a stage, and there's music going on, and it's about 75 feet from him.
Oh, dear.
So he sits down at his piano and he records this beautiful message to try and get his woman back.
So my name's Luke Howard. I'm here at College Green and I'm here playing piano because I didn't really know what else to do. I fell in love with a really amazing girl. It was all going wonderfully and it all kind of fell apart. So rather than just give up, I thought I'd come here and just play. And I'll play if it rains, if it snows, if I fall over, or if I get arrested.
So he's going to play the piano no matter what. Now, this is a weird move to make.
Yeah.
You're not going to go...
Does she live right by the park so she'll hear it?
He doesn't say.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like he's standing out in front of her bedroom with a boombox playing In Your Eyes or whatever that was. He's just going to play piano until she notices.
Huh.
No matter what.
I will be here as long as I have to be here. And hopefully the girl, when she knows who she is, will come talk to me and maybe we could get
another girl. Okay, now, at this point, he stops talking to the camera and he turns to play a beautiful melody on the piano. Which you can't hear. You hear a couple notes? So you hear like one piano note and another piano note, but he's just getting completely drowned out.
Yeah, maybe she broke up with him because Luke is a horrible planner.
He's not good.
No.
And he's not good on the piano either.
No.
I mean, he didn't really kick into it. Just a random note here and there.
Yeah.
So that was his last ditch effort. He was going to stay there no matter what.
Yeah.
Until, Allie, what did you discover?
He was punched in the face around 4 a.m. and he left.
Punched that in the face by a...
Just somebody.
Just a stranger.
Just kind of over it, I guess. So that was it.
May have been somebody trying to get some rest.
Might have been.
If it was 4 a.m. and he was playing the piano.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, the story doesn't say if he got his woman back. I'm going to go ahead and guess no.
No. I feel like maybe Luke went about it the wrong way.
What should Luke do?
Call her.
Right?
Send a letter.
Sure.
Maybe send some flowers. If she's not into you, you're now a stalker in the park playing the piano. And you're making it all about you, Luke.
So this stunt would not work for you.
No. And I actually had a guy, a little last-ditch effort type thing with me, where he told me he is going to send me flowers every day until I took him back. And I think it was 2.5-3 weeks in. It was every day.
Wow.
And my roommates at the time were like, enough. These flowers, we can't. But I was like, let's see how long it goes. I mean, he said every day. He did this thing. I was uptight back then, but he got someone pregnant when we were dating.
Oh, really?
So, totally uptight.
That's ridiculous.
So he thought flowers would make up for that.
Flowers every day, though. See, that's a last-ditch effort right there, is flowers every day.
Come on.
See, so you have to pick something.
Yeah.
Luke picked the piano, playing while there was a rally, and
then
got punched in the face by a stranger.
Right.
So that didn't work out for him.
No.
That guy that was trying to get you back, flowers every day for 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
But then it just stopped. He gave up?
He gave up.
Yeah. Because
I was like, you gotta stop. You gotta.
All right. So last-ditch efforts to get somebody back. That's the topic. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You call. We'll talk to you next. All right. Just had a Lifehouse. So we're going to take one call. We're talking about last-ditch efforts to get somebody back based on Luke Howard in England, who was going to just play the piano forever until he got his woman back. But then he got punched in the face. All right. Nat in Oxnard. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
So last-ditch effort, what did you try?
So I was with my girlfriend for about 2 years, and, you know, things started getting rocky, and, you know, she gave me one of the talks. And I said, well, hey, you know what? Let's try to make it work out. I bought these Cavalia tickets. You know, these tickets are like $400 or $500. I ended up buying them after I said that just to try to make it work out.
I don't know what Cavalier is. I'm sorry.
It's horses and they ribbons and they go in a circle.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. It's like this big fancy like horse show and super expensive. And and I just, you know, I knew she liked it. So I thought maybe it would help.
And did it?
We ended up breaking up a week after that.
Oh, so. And you had to sit through that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even go to the show. I bought the tickets and just went to leave. So.
Oh, Matt.
You didn't even get to see the horses with the ribbons?
No, I mean, that wasn't really my thing.
All right. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. We are talking about last-ditch efforts to get that person back in your life. And most of the time, it seems like it's not really working. Got to be honest. We were talking about a guy in England who was going to play the piano for the rest of his life until she acknowledged him, and then he got punched in the face by a stranger and went home.
I mean, does she really want to be with someone that gives up that easily?
Right? Just after one punch? Let's go to Robert right now in Huntington Beach.
Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Allie.
Yeah, hey, Robert.
I'm creeped out just by reading what you're about to tell us. All right. First of all, how long were you together?
5 months.
5 months. All right. Then you break up and?
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't even a breakup. She just ghosted me pretty much.
Okay.
And I had, she's a very pretty photogenic person. I wanted to take her to all these murals around LA because she was down for that anyway. It never happened. So what I did is I got a few pictures of her, blew them up to about a one by one. And then I took pictures at the murals with the pictures. And then I made like a slideshow and I sent it to her.
So you made a life-size cutout of her and brought it to the murals to take pictures like she was there to send her?
No, it wasn't a life-size. That's what your phone screener kept saying, but it was about a one-by-one.
Oh, it's smaller, okay. But you made it look bigger just because of the way you took the picture.
No.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. Okay. You could barely see it in the picture.
No, you could see it, but it wasn't a life-size. Like,
all right.
Wasn't, like, standing next to me.
And what was her response?
I got the video. Thank you. That was it.
All right. So you moved on. That's it. Right?
I hope you moved on, right?
Trying.
Oh, Robert, move on.
Happening.
She's not worth it. It's not meant to be. Move on.
Well, I showed this video to a friend of mine yesterday, and halfway through, he's like, I would have married you if you would have made this for me.
Okay, your friend's a liar, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's creepy, and you shouldn't have done it.
Okay. Marry your friend.
But still love you, Robert.
Yes, thank you for calling. If you have fresh wounds, maybe don't call this show.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Not really equipped to handle that. All right, let's go to Steven in Irvine. Hi, Steven. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good morning.
Good morning. So, last-ditch efforts. What'd you do? How long were you together?
A couple of years. Okay. I've called before. I just want to say, Allie, you're a gem. Go for your dentist. Here's the story.
Thank you, Steven.
I broke up with a girlfriend after finding out some stuff that happened. She drove to a park near my house and decided to bring candles and spell out, I'm sorry. Lit them on fire, sent me a video of it. Someone called the police, thought she was starting a fire in the park. Police and fire department showed up. She then sends me another video of the police arriving and walking up to her saying, is there a problem here? Get a knock on my door 30 minutes later. She's at the door with the police and fire department. They say, do you know her? I had to confirm that I did. She ends up spending the night in her truck all night outside my place.
Oh, you wouldn't even let her inside the place?
I couldn't. I had to stay firm, and I was, like, inside crying, like, this is really messed up. In the morning, I did. Eventually, I cooked her breakfast. We talked it out. I figured if you're going to go that distance and get law enforcement involved, you absolutely do love me and deserve another chance. We're no longer together, but it was a good story.
Okay.
It's a great story. How about the cops, though? Like, do you know her? Otherwise, she's an arsonist, and we're taking her in.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Like, oh, we got some complaints. She seems pretty level-headed. I mean, she wasn't drinking or anything, and I was like, I mean, you should have hit on there. Something would go for it. I don't know. It was pretty awkward.
To the cop?
Wow.
Okay, now I'm confused. All right, thank you, Steve. Let's go to Lydia in Pasadena. Hi, Lydia. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. I'm also the person who had the dead guy in the ballroom.
All right. The dead guy in the ballroom. Lydia's full of stories.
Is that Colonel Mustard in the library? What does that mean? Okay.
Lydia, what happened?
So, my ex-boyfriend, I had already moved out and I moved on and got a new boyfriend. He went to a psychic and she told him that he wasn't showing me enough how much he loved me. So she told him to ask me to marry him. And so we used to go feed the ducks at Hollywood Cemetery before it was Hollywood Forever.
Right.
And we were sitting on Tyrone Powers' grave and he pulls out this ring and kneels down and asked me to marry him there in the cemetery because a psychic told him to.
And you, of course, were head over heels happy in love and said yes.
That psychic was crazy. I'm like, I so do not want to date you, and this is not romantic.
Wow. So that was it.
So you're saying that psychic was off just a bit.
All?
Yeah. Just the psychic was worth every penny.
Just a smidge. All right. Wow. Thank you, Lydia, for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Patrick, who had an ex try to win him back. Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, hey. I was going to go on a trip to Europe. I was going to go study abroad for about 3 months. And I had an email set up to tell all my friends about where I was going to go and where I was going to be. But before I went, I had to break up with my girlfriend because it wasn't that serious. And I was leaving for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go well. But anyways, I broke up with her anyways. And at the end of my trip, she found out where I was going to be and ended up in Ireland and got a cell phone, got a hotel near where I was staying, and was emailed me and told me where she was. And at the time, I was with my cousins drinking beer at a pub, and I just got the email saying she is right next door right now.
Oh, my God.
And it said, you have to go, you have to go find out what happened, why she's here. So I went next door, and there she was, and she professed her love to me, told me how this is meant to be. Isn't this amazing? We're here in Ireland together. It's just meant to be. We got to get back together.
Oh, no.
And so I looked at her and I said, I've never been more sure about the decision I made 3 months ago than I am right now.
Ouch.
And I got to go have a beer with my cousins. I got to go. And that was it.
And she flew back home.
Wow.
And she flew back home.
All right. Good times.
Oh, man. I hope she met a dude named Seamus and just worked some stuff out that night, because that's, wow.
Thank you for the call.
That's nuts.
Let's go to Jasper in Riverside. Hi, Jasper.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good,
hey,
thank
Jasper.
You.
Well, I was dating a girl for 2 years, and I decided that I was going to get a big block of ice and carve a heart for her out of the ice, and it was going very well until getting on that curve part of the heart.
Now, wait, hold on a second. Have you done that with ice before? Have you carved ice before?
Never.
So this was the first time?
Yes.
And she loves ice?
Well, I don't know. I never saw her again, so.
Okay, what happened with the ice?
Well, right around the curved part, slipped off and it slipped off and cut off 3 of my fingers.
Did it happen 5 minutes ago? Because you sound like you're completely out of breath. Do you need to go to the hospital?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Jasper, that's awful.
So, I was a teenager, and of course, that, you know, they call me all kinds of names. Seven, you know, they call me Seven, and
Seven's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So,
well, I guess it was funny at the time. But.
This took a weird turn. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm sorry, Jasper. Better luck next time.
Thank you for the call. Ralph Garman has stepped in, and we've got Petros Papadakis on the phone for the Bachelor in Paradise report.
Come join us on this beautiful journey as Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis recap.
It's the Bachelor in Paradise. It's so nice. It's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in Paradise. Ralph and Pete make the sacrifice. Come on. Are so dumb. So Ralph and B, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill?
The Bachelor in Paradise.
The last night in paradise. It was bittersweet, P.
It was horrible.
What? It was wonderful. One take.
Come on, you gotta give it up. This was a terrible, terrible season.
I refute that with all of my soul.
This is what I love about you two, is that you never come to the same... Any consensus is never reached on this particular program.
We are on the fringe of positive and negative, with no chance.
If P loves it, Ralph hates it. If Ralph loves it, P hates it.
My one takeaway is I would like to never see Corinne and or DeMario ever again, if we could make that happen.
Now, they're the ones that ruined the beginning of the season?
They didn't ruin anything. They just got drunk and started doing the nasty, and then people started to panic, and they pulled the plug and almost ruined the season. So
it's the biggest non-story that ever lived.
They don't really need...
bringing them around to get something out of it, and nothing ever happened.
Yeah, we don't need to get their innermost feelings about what happened anymore. I think it's settled. Let's all move on, shall we? But it was the final day in paradise when the couples had decided, are we going to stay together? Are we going to move forward? Are we going to go on one last date and perhaps end up in the fantasy suite? Or are we going to say our goodbyes?
It was like a date or a fantasy suite or the van of depression. And it was with the three.
Get in the sad band.
And who would have thought that Daniel and Lacey would be a couple that would stick together and try to go forward with their relationship? An unlikely couple. Daniel, the wacky Canadian, and Lacey, the sad sack New Yorker who just feels sorry for herself all the time. They decided to go forward, and Danielle promised her a holiday, because it was the 4th of July.
I think a fantasy suite would be really great for Danielle and I. The more alone time we can get, the better, obviously. I just hope he feels the same way.
So you ready for a 4th of July in my pants?
4th of July in your pants.
You like that one, don't you?
That was actually really funny.
You want to see it, though?
Yeah.
Did that happen on TV?
That happened on television.
Huh.
They went to the fantasy suite. They enjoyed the evening together. However, we found out in the after show that apparently did not end well the next morning when Daniel said, I'm really wasn't that into you after he boned her.
Oh, hey, so, the 4th of July is a fleeting firework. You know,
it's one firecracker. Right, the 5th of July. There's no holiday on the 5th of July.
So on the regular Bachelor and Bachelorette, it all ends with this giant cliffhanger, and then she or he picks one person and they propose. For this, in Paradise, they take each couple?
Each couple that has ended up together at the end of the season, they test them and say, do you want to continue on? Or you just want to say, this was a summer fling, we're going to go our separate ways.
Okay.
Jack Stone, for example, he had a big crush on Kristen. He wanted them to move forward.
Scallop Fingers.
Spend his time with Scallop Fingers. Scallop Fingers did not see the same future with Jack Stone that he saw. And so she opted just to say, let's go our separate ways.
I'm very relieved. I would have been wigging out if I left here as a couple. Thank you. It's a no. Scallop Fingers out.
Scallop Fingers out.
Jeez.
She had enough. Meanwhile, Dean, you remember Dean? He was in love with the Russian orphan.
God, did he really spit the bit here, Ralph?
But then he dumped her and chased her off of Paradise to spend some time with smoking hot D-Lo, who he said, this is who I really want to be with. And D-Lo's like, this is great. We can move forward our relationship. He's like, no, I can't because I really love Christine. I drove her away and I love her. She's the one I truly love. And he was crying like a bitch.
I actually am in love with this girl, and yet I lost that to pursue something else. If I never went on that date with Danielle, then we would be here right now talking about Christine and me instead of Danielle and me. And I'm sorry for crying, but like, I literally hate myself right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're not alone.
Nobody else likes you either.
He's talking about the woman that said the orphanage was better than Paradise.
Right, but they did not have to cut away to her in rags walking in the snow crying in Russia.
No.
They didn't. Don't believe me. There was no cutaway. It was just him crying, saying how much he missed the girl that he said go away and drove away from Paradise.
What's happening?
2020.
It was also terrible when they had Vladimir Putin open the door to a brothel for her to go in and live forever.
Never happened. Now, Taylor and Derek, the hardest core of all the couples, they also went forward. And Taylor said it was important for her to spend the evening with him because she couldn't really say whether she loved him or not until she got boned by him. She had to figure out if sex was going to be the final analysis.
I would have just left. If I were him and she said, hey, we're going to have sex and if it's good, we'll stay together, I would have just gotten a van right there.
She was very aggressive about it. I really hadn't seen that on the show before where a woman said, I really can't say how I feel about you until after we sleep together and then I'll know more.
I respect it.
Right? Yeah.
So then we had the post show, the live post show, where they said, let's check in with the couples and see how everybody's doing. That's when we found out that Daniel and Lacey had split up the next morning when we found out. Scallop Fingers, she got in the face of all the girls who had been bullying her and calling her Scallop Fingers behind her back.
Oh, it's on.
Yeah.
Including Crazy Jasmine, who's still just insane. It's like constantly playing with her hair and her extensions and stuff. Looks like she's going to take off her earrings and throw down any minute. It was scary there for a minute. And it was so funny how she was insisting she was not a bully as she was bullying Kristen on the show.
We did not bully you. You were in on this joke. Like, that's what makes me mad. I was not on social media being mean to you. I'm over it.
I know, and I thought you were until everything on social media when you weren't being nice.
Kristen, because you were liking tweets that calling me, Alexis, and all us bullies, and we're not bullying you.
We're not bullying you! She screamed at her face as she bullied her.
Scallop Fingers came back with all the rage of the sea.
She did.
This doesn't sound like a fun finale.
Everybody was so unhappy.
I told you it's horrible.
No one was happy in the after show.
This was just like a bunch of people that kind of knew each other on vacation. It wasn't It was just, it was a bunch of thirsty ass people.
Amanda,
where are the twins?
Amanda and Robbie split up. They couldn't make it work.
I thought they could.
No.
Good thing they didn't talk about her kids anymore because she's abandoned them.
She does not acknowledge that she has children anymore. That's true.
They're in Russia.
Dean was booed when he came out because of his behavior with D-Lo and with Russian Orphan. And so they put him up in the hot seat, and he said, well, how do you feel now about Russian Orphan? He's like, oh, I still love her, and I'm so sorry for what I've done, and I can't believe that I drove her away. And he's such an idiot because he knows he's going to get called out because D-Lo is right there. And she's like, hold on a second. An hour after we left the show, well, I'll let her explain.
If you were saying that you were in love with Christina this whole time and that you love her, like, and we left the show, immediately after, like within an hour, you called me.
In that regard, you came over, we had
a relationship that unfolded after Paradise, and you're saying all this now. So then it's like you loved her, but then did you just want to get with me and then go back to her? Like, I don't understand that.
Like, that's really what you think?
I left Paradise
saying that I had strong feelings, such
you
as
said
love
you loved
for
her.
Christina.
Yeah.
Careful, Dean, what you say, because I thought we kind of tried kind of talking again, mm-hmm. but it's just like, are you still flipping-flopping us both? Because I don't know what you're doing.
He was flipping-flopping them.
You do not want to flip and flop
them. He was flipping-flopping them.
Be careful what you say, Dean.
Squirrel and Moose will be killed if you don't speak truth. Oh. So he went back with D-Lo after he said, I love her, I can't go with you.
He went back to the Russian orphan
after D-Lo.
What?
He wanted to have sex with her.
Well, of course he did. She's amazing.
All right, well, have sex with D-Lo and then, you know, wipe up the Russian orphan before she gets sold into sexual slavery.
But he knew that they were going to see each other and there was going to be a confrontation in front of Crispy Harrison.
You two sound insane.
Yeah, it was a great show. But Derek and Taylor came out at the end and there was a nice moment. Derek pulled out a ring and he did propose to Taylor and it was happily ever after for those two. So I guess the sex was good. I guess.
Wow.
What if a guy said that up before the fantasy suite? Look, I got to have sex with her. And if I don't like it, then forget it.
That would be a horse of a different color.
I respect that.
I don't know. I'd respect it.
No, you wouldn't.
Not as much.
If a guy said, you know, I got to bone this girl before I really can say if I love her or not. I got to make sure and see how the wang bone treats her first.
Would he say wang bone?
He would say that.
See, I'd respect that.
So but apparently the sex was good, so Taylor said, yes, I will accept your proposal, and now they're going to be happily ever after.
Huh.
Sure. So, Petros, you didn't like the season?
No, I hated it.
Okay, Ralph, you loved the season?
Loved it.
All right, what's next?
January, The Bachelor in January.
January, The Bachelor comes back.
We get Johnny Leikendyke, whoever, Dale Leikendyke. What's his name? I don't know.
Ari
Leikendyke.
You can call me for sports.
The Bachelor in Paradise.
7:54, Ari Shaffir, comedian, coming up in the next hour. Right now, Ralph Garman is here for a look at the show biz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Reminder, this Sunday, Kevin Smith and I are bringing Hollywood Babylon back to Southern California. We're going to do a special Sunday night show down in Brea, California at the Improv.
No.
It'll be Sunday at 7. And then the following Sunday, another Sunday show up in Oxnard. So we're hitting you low, we're hitting you high.
No.
Yeah. We work the body, and then boom, lights out.
No!
Hollywood Babylon this Sunday in Brea, next Sunday in Oxnard. You can go to improv.com. Click on those locations to get your tickets. Love to have you see you come out. Have a good time tonight.
Don't forget.
It's a big cable TV event. Hurricane Relief, Hand in Hand, is the name of the event. It's happening on ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, as well as the cable networks Bravo, HBO, MTV, CMT, Oxygen. It's going to be live streamed on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter as well. You won't be able to get away from this goddamn charity event. But it's for a worthy cause, helping those folks who've had their lives turned upside down by these awful hurricanes. Tons of people, star-studded, Beyonce and George Clooney and Hillary Duff. What? Hillary Duff? How'd they get her? Julia Roberts, Barbara Streisand, Sofia Vergara. All great, great people. And then also Reese Witherspoon. So it's just it's the best and worst Hollywood has to offer. As you can imagine, Stephen King, a hot commodity these days.
Sure.
It being the number one smash hit movie that it is. Now, everybody wants to make a Stephen King movie. He must be happy.
They've been making them for a while, though, haven't they? Or
when's the last Stephen King movie you saw, though, really?
Dark Tower?
Oh, yeah. That wasn't a very successful one.
I mean, a lot of them aren't that successful, I guess.
Suffer the Little Children is a short story of Stephen King's that's just been purchased to make a new movie out of, in wake of the success of It. It's a story of an elderly first-grade teacher who notices something different about the children in her class.
Uh-oh.
Turns out, they're not really the children at all. They're just creatures that have imprisoned the real children inside them.
Mm. You are all going to die tonight.
Causing mysterious murders to take place in her town. Right?
So the kids are killing people?
I don't know. I didn't read the story.
That's terrifying.
But this elderly first grade teacher, she's got to fight for her right.
To party.
That's an odd twist.
What are the odds it gets a change from elderly first grade teacher in the movie?
Into young 20-something first year teacher.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And while we were talking about charity things, like that big event tonight, another charity popped up on my radar this morning. There's a new album of songs that will help the ASPCA find homes for our furry friends that have been affected by Hurricane Harvey and Irma. That's a nice cause, right?
That is nice.
Sure.
It's a digital album called Dog Songs. It's now available on Bandcamp.com. And Mark Hoppus of Blink 182 has a new song on the album Dog Songs called Not Every Dog Goes to Heaven.
Oh.
Sounds great. Sounds like an upper.
Well, not every dog is good. So there's some dick dogs out there.
But I'm saying, do you want to put the song about some dick dogs out there on this particular charity thing?
If it raises money to help dogs, then I think you do. But let's be honest, some dogs are dicks. Like Dinky from National Lampoon's Vacation. Remember Dinky the dog?
Oh, on the roof?
Yeah. And
yeah.
Then behind the dog. Sure. And then behind the station wagon.
Yeah.
Couldn't really keep up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He peed in the lunchbox. Remember he
sure
peed in the picnic?
Yeah.
He was a dick dog.
Yeah, still lovable.
Dick.
Still lovable.
I hope he never went to heaven. Just like Mark Hoppus. Anyway, the song's pretty awesome. Here's a little taste. You can get it on that new digital album called Dog Songs. Not Every Dog Goes to Heaven.
All I wanted was a happy family. Betty peed in the picnic basket. Ultimate block. Also my cousin Eddie, touch you up to the car behind me. You could not keep up. You could not keep up. Not every dog goes to heaven. Thinking you're such a drag.
Oh my god.
Sometimes you just have it coming. It's Chevy Chase was rad.
Yep.
That is awesome.
Right. Some dogs are dicks. Dogs go to hell. Today's celebrity birthdays. 2 Chainz is 39 years old today. Neil Peart is 65. Drummer, of course, for Rush. Busy Bone. Bone Thugs and Harmony turns 40. Hans Zimmer, legendary composer, 59 years old. Elizabeth Canales, model and actress, is 39 today. Benjamin McKenzie turns 38. Louis C.K. is 49. Emmy Rossum's 30, and singer Jennifer Hudson turns 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Comedian Ari Shaffir. Why do I always try to say Schaefer?
Sure.
I have a good friend named Schaefer, that's why. So every time I say his name, I try and say
Schaefer. Is his
Schaefer.
Name Ari Shaffir?
No.
Okay.
Ari Shaffir is a comedian we've had in the studio many times, and we're happy to have him today as well. The Pope, I don't know if you saw this, but Pope Francis lost his balance while riding in the Pope-mobile and injured his left eye.
Oh, no.
He's got like a black eye.
Oh,
and we thought, what is going on? Like, how long has it been since you've seen the Pope-mobile be in an accident?
Yeah.
Ever?
I don't think I have, no.
He was in Colombia. He was in the old sector of Cartagena, Colombia. Mm-hmm. And I guess they hit some roads or somebody got in the way or whatever, and he went flying and he bruised his cheek and has a black eye. So that seems bad, right? So we figured we'd check in with the Pope and see if he's all right. Hello, Your Highness.
Your Highness? Your Holiness! Good Lord, Kevin! What the hell is
that? That's
happening
a hell of a start,
today?
I gotta tell you. A hell of a start. Wow. I pray
Pope.
For you, my son.
Save me, Pope.
Oh, save you, save me. I'm the one who's got to talk to him now.
I'm sorry.
Kevin, I'm going to give you the floor. What would you like to ask Your Highness?
Your Holiness, welcome to the show.
Oh, pleasure to be here, I got to tell you. Something else. I was just here hitting the roads in my car, just taking a little trip. And then I get another phone with you, so it's a pleasure to be talking to you.
All right, so you're in Colombia. Tell us what happened.
Well, I'm driving along, hitting the roads. And they're just driving in the popmobile.
Right.
And I lost my balance a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I came forward and hit the glass, the window glass on the popmobile.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little bruising under the chin and on my eye later. But I'm actually fine. Thank for the grace of God, I'm actually very, very fine. So that's it. And a lot of it was made of something that really was nothing. And I'm in the popmobile now, actually.
Oh, you are.
Driving along.
Oh.
It's very safe. And
that's a lot of acceleration.
What happened?
You okay?
Oh, that was not good. I think I have some brain damage.
Your Holiness.
What did you do?
You sound shockingly like someone we know. Are you okay?
Are you like Jesus? Are you a long time fan him?
Come on.
You're not wanting to go into heaven now. Pretty soon, a couple years now.
What time do you think?
Well, it's 17:09 military time to go to heaven. But, you know, a lot of the things only God can explain with, like, UFOs, you know, in a terrorist situation. How long were you in the office? Not the one, the office in the outside, but the inside one. I love riding in the Pope's party bus. This is my favorite place. I love when people come and say, "Hey, Your Highness, how are you?"
We welcome to the studio Ari Shaffir. Welcome, Ari.
Thank you. Good to be back. I love you guys.
Welcome back. You've been sitting in traffic for a while. How do you?
Sucks deal? Here, man. I hate LA.
I forgot about it. How do you deal with that?
I looked last night. It said 16 minutes to get here. I was like, okay.
Well, wait a minute. But you knew traffic changes.
I knew it would get a little worse.
Wait, did you Google it at 10 o'clock at night and it said 16 minutes?
Yeah, like 11 o'clock. So, but then it's like, all right, 30.
What are you new?
It's been a while.
You here for how long?
And I was like taking my time. It's like, it's not time to leave yet. And then you look and you're like, oh.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
You lived in New York for how long now?
Didn't even wipe. I got off the toilet.
I mean.
Do not need to know that. Too much information right there. Although I did find, Ari is here to talk about his two Netflix comedy specials called Double Negative.
Yeah.
And there was a pretty fascinating story about having to throw away his underwear on an airplane.
Yeah.
And that's not the kind of thing that you want to...
I mean...
It's not the thing you want to get into.
Who amongst us?
Me.
Oh.
No one's immune. No one's immune to random acts of...
So, Ari, how did you come up with the idea of the two-hour specials, one about children, one about adults?
I was having trouble, like, narrowing it down to, like a through line. And then I started listening to a lot of Smashing Pumpkins. I saw them at Rock on the Range, some festival,
mm-hmm.
a few years ago, and they were terrible. But you guys, I mean, you've been playing them for forever.
We have. They had their good times, they're not as good times.
Yeah, so I was mad at him for a while, and that, like, a couple years, and then I was, like, trying to be more positive. Like, let me remember what was good about Smashing Pumpkins, and then I got into that Melancholy Infinite Sadness album.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I can do something like this.
So you just decided to do two different specials rather than try to create one with a through line.
Yeah, one's about children, one's about adulthood.
Mm-hmm. I've rarely heard a stand-up start his act with children are garbage.
Children are garbage.
I think a lot of them think it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You really got to, like, know thyself.
Not a fan of children. Not ever interested in having children.
You guys got them?
I do.
He does, yeah.
And best thing that ever happened to me.
Are they grown up?
Yes, they're growing up. Well, yeah, they're not toddlers. Yeah.
Oh, but they're still kids.
Not so best.
Do they barf randomly? Are they needy? Are they self-absorbed? Do they ever help with the bills?
You're talking about 1 and 2 year olds, though, right?
I guess all of them. Until about 16, they're helpless. So you can drive to do errands. You offer nothing to us.
So you talk about children for a long time. What kind of response do you get from that chunk? Because I assume that there's parents out there who do get offended.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah, I mean, I wrote stuff in to like calm down, especially mothers.
Oh, is that
through.
Right?
I know. Like as I was working it out, it was like it's been 25 minutes just bashing children. I could see the moms getting like, "Who the f are you?"
Right?
And tell me. So I like wrote stuff in to like, calm them down, and then. Yeah, now it's usually like with that stuff, moms and dads are like, yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go back on it, but you're right about a lot of that stuff.
Well, they're the best things that ever happened, but seriously, Ari. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to punch
a lot of what you say is the negative side of having children. That's mm-hmm. true. You just don't get the positive. That's
I
your
kept a little bit of positive, but a little bit. They're cute. Cute. They give you a sense of purpose. That stuff, and then that's about it.
So you got that one, the children, and then the other one is adulthood.
Yeah.
And you talk about a lot of stuff in adulthood.
Yeah.
One of which is going to Amsterdam and saying that the weed...
It's not as good as SoCal.
Not
it's just
as good.
Not. You would expect it to be the best, right?
I would think so, and I've been
it's
there.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah?
It's just not as good as here or Colorado or Washington.
Really?
We lapped them, I think in the 70s or something.
We lapped them and no one's aware of it?
No one's aware of it. I was with Ralphie May once and some guy from Amsterdam was like, we have the best weed. And Ralphie's like, you're wrong. And the guy was like, no, you're wrong. And Ralphie's like, come to my car with me. And he just killed the guy.
He killed him he killed in the car?
Him. I don't think he got back to Amsterdam.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That took a turn. Yeah. That's one way to prove your point. Just kill him.
Kicked him out. Well, I mean, killed him with weed.
Oh. I was in Amsterdam once, and we went to one of those cafes.
Mm-hmm. Coffee shops. Yeah.
And there were about 8 of us.
Yeah.
And we all got something different. See, this is how you have to do it. And then just passed it around. So then you go into the back, and there's like this couch area.
It's great. Mm-hmm.
And it's 6 p.m., and then you look at your watch and it's midnight and you go, what happened in the last 6 hours?
Yeah, it's
I have
great.
No idea.
It's like the bar scene, but just with weed. And then you go to some and they're playing Bob Marley and others are playing rap and others are playing like, you know, Arcade Fire. It's great. The whole system's great.
I think most people think Amsterdam weed is so much better because they go and they have edibles that maybe they didn't have here and it just affects them differently.
No, it's people that aren't aware of this current system in SoCal.
Okay.
Yeah. They haven't really tried it here, so they go there and they just assume it's better.
Yeah, they have those cupcakes that are the size of a grapefruit.
Yeah, those are
you got to take down 2,000 calories when you get high. Here you get a breast strip and you're high for a day and a half of negative 6 calories.
Joe Rogan dropped a breath strip once.
Dropped it here.
And I said, hey, you know, I'll take that. And he said, look, listen to me. And this is exactly to your point.
He got serious. He's like, hey, listen to me.
Listen to me. And he looked me in the eye and he said, only do half.
Yeah.
And he could not have been more serious.
Yes. And more right.
And more right, yeah.
Even a half is like, oh, I maybe could have got away with a third of
this thing.
It's crazy, right?
Because then the next morning you're like, all right, I'm done being high. At what point does this
happen? Yeah. Yeah, that's the worst. You wake up, you're like, am I groggy? No. It's 3 p.m. How am I still high? Yeah.
What other kind of topics did you cover? You explained...
some travel stuff.
Traveling.
Which I've been doing a lot of. I got off the grid this year.
You got off the grid?
Yeah.
Meaning no social media? No.
I put my phone in my desk drawer, and I got a ticket to Myanmar, and I just left. I locked myself out of all my social media and my email.
And tell me how that has helped or hurt you.
It was great.
Yeah, that's what I assumed you'd say.
It helped me tremendously. Just to decompress from all the draws of, you know, Facebook. I mean, that was right after the election. You know how Facebook and Twitter got.
Unbearable.
People lost friends.
Yeah.
People lost friends to annoyance.
People lost family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why is it so annoying? Why do you keep posting about that? It used to be just dog pictures and kid pictures, and that was bad.
That was annoying.
This was way worse.
Agreed.
So how long have you been off it, or are you back on it now?
I'm back on it now, but it was 4 months of just no contact with anyone home.
Wow.
I wrote a couple letters. I knew people's addresses.
And you wrote letters by pen?
Yeah,
by
and
pen?
I sent it from, like, Thailand or Cambodia.
By pen,
yeah. It was so retro.
Yeah. And when they got the letter, they say, what's
happening?
What are you doing?
And by the time they got it, I was 2 countries away from where I sent it because it takes, you know, 2 weeks to a month to get there.
What is your feeling about talking about traveling overseas? What is your feeling about the view of Americans now?
It's not. I mean, the stereotype is
different?
People hate us.
Yeah.
It's not that at all.
It's not that at all?
No. People, when they think of America, what I come in contact with, and this is just, let's say, just Southeast Asia. London's different because they're more aware of our stuff,
right.
England. But, like, Southeast Asia and Scandinavia, they're aware of our music, our TV, our fashion, our movies.
And they love all that.
They love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was in Thailand. And someone was like, where are you from? Broken English. And I was like, America. He goes, Schwarzenegger. You know, no Trump, no nothing, just like some stuff he remembers from movies.
But I mean, do we want to be known for Schwarzenegger?
Probably not. But, you know,
it's better than some of the films.
Yeah, Kindergarten Cop was fine. I'll stand by that.
Yeah.
It's not a tumor, man. It's not a tumor.
Where did you like traveling the least? Who didn't get you?
Thailand, maybe.
Thailand?
Just because it's more touristy. I wanted to get, like, away, but I liked it a lot still.
Do you have problems with the language barrier when you're doing comedy there or no?
Yeah, you pretty much only perform to expats. Thailand a little more locals because they speak more English, but like Cambodia is only expats. Vietnam, Myanmar, I didn't do stand-up.
Why did you go to Myanmar?
Just to see new countries. Yeah.
That's just your thing. You'll go there and not even perform.
East Timor, yeah. Yeah, it was great. My half-brother's a captain of the army, and he was like, do not go to East Timor. Like, you can go to the capital and then no further east.
Right.
But then I found people in Indonesia who were like, that's just an American travel ban because we don't do trade with them.
But it's your brother.
Yeah, I know. But
I would trust my brother at that point.
Plus, he's in the army and he's real smart about that stuff.
Right.
But I was on a fishing boat on the easternmost part of the island going like, man, he was wrong. This place is amazing.
Wow. Have you lost it?
A little bit.
Did you write him a letter? You're like, suck it. You just got it.
You have a long beard and just disappear for a couple of years?
It was like that, dude. I just got off. I would go for years if I could. I can. I think about it.
Yeah, why can't you?
Getting the F off the map.
I mean, as long as you performed every, how often? How often would you?
That's the problem. I need to perform, and they don't really have spots. Like, I go up 5 to 15 times a week. You know,
and is that normal? 5 to 15 times a week? That seems like a tremendous amount.
It's high. It's high for most comics, but yeah. In New York, it's not that high.
That's just a normal way you work out your stuff.
Work, 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 work.
With the two halves, with children, with adulthood, do you do them each separately, or did you work on them together?
Ran them together. I took intermissions when I did Scandinavian tours. I was like, hey guys, that's it, because I wanted to feel how it felt to like close on one,
uh-huh,
and then start up again. So it wasn't like,
how many people left during the intermission?
A few moms and moms to get home with their dumb kids. Couldn't even have a good night out. Nothing to do with me. These are idiot choices.
I do like that you changed. You changed clothes.
Yeah, I changed clothes. On stage. I got naked on stage.
I respect that.
Between the house. We set up. We changed that.
They're doing lighting. You said, hold on.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not the move.
I flashed a ball.
Just
I had to change my underwear. Yeah, just what I was doing. I was like, here you go. The lefty. The lefty's always longer. Is that wet for you too? I should do a poll. Guys, which one's longer? You got a longer one, right?
I mean, I don't know that one's longer.
Oh, I think you'd know.
I don't think so.
Then maybe,
maybe
it
not.
Isn't.
Then maybe it's not.
You, mine are perfect. I'm pretty sure they're perfect.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm not positive, but I think they're perfect.
You should do a perfect balls calendar for next year. Just have different images of your balls.
I'm not positive that's the movie.
Put glasses on one of them.
Or a monocle.
Yeah, earrings. Yeah. Like clip-on earrings. Mm-hmm. When you're just in a ladies' night out.
Do you want clip-ons on your balls?
No, but just you can pull the skin back a little bit. It's like a bulldog down there. You know, get it on the actual ball. Don't be crazy.
Ari Shaffir, you could catch his two comedy specials right now on Netflix called Double Negative. One is Children and one is Adulthood, and they're both very funny. And also the podcast is The Skeptic Tank. You're still doing that, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for coming in. We appreciate it. Sorry about the drive today.
It wasn't all my fault, not yours, but thank you for having me. You're always...
LANOC's Alternative Rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54. Ralph Garman is here now. Time for a look at the showbiz beat.
Give folks a reminder that this Sunday night, for a change, Hollywood Babylon's taking the stage again in Southern California. We haven't been here for a while. Kevin Smith and I doing our Hollywood Babylon show in Brea, California this Sunday at the Improv in Brea, Sunday at 7. And then next Sunday, it's Oxnard up north. So if you want to come out and see me, Kevin Smith, and do our hilarious Hollywood Babylon show, we'd love to have you join us.
Oh, God, no.
Go to improv.com to get your tickets. And while we're talking about show business, this is when it's at its best, I think, is when it's doing something for somebody else. Tonight's the big TV event, Hand in Hand, a benefit for hurricane relief. And it's star-studded. I mean, when I say that, I mean studded. It's going to be on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, also on cable, Bravo, HBO, MTV, CMT, Oxygen. It'll be live streamed on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you want to watch.
What if I don't get any of those?
They make it easy for you. They'll come to your house.
Okay.
Here's some of the lineup. Beyonce, Justin Bieber, George Clooney, Robert De Niro, Ellen DeGeneres, Tom Hanks, The Rock, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Nicole Kidman, Matthew McConaughey, Jeremy Renner, Julia Roberts, Adam Sandler, Blake Shelton, Barbara Streisand, Gwen Stefani, and Reese Witherspoon. So not everything's good. Sometimes you gotta hurt to give.
We
sometimes
need to figure
hurts.
This out.
Yeah, it I don't hurts know why to
you,
give.
I don't get it.
Why do you hate her? Why do you hate her?
Greasy Reese, right?
No one calls her that. No one calls her that.
Zero people. Not even you.
Single person.
We all call her
that. Not only you. Not even you call her
that. For a good reason.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Are you one of those people who uses Rotten Tomatoes, the website, to look at the aggregate ratings of a motion picture before you decide whether you'll go out to the theater to see it or not?
Not even once.
But I would do that way before I would trust one critic. You know what I mean? Like if I read one person that was criticizing a movie or whatever, I would take an average of all of them before I would do one.
Huh.
Why, Bat? Is it?
I think a lot of people do.
Well, here's the interesting part of that. There's a new study that says the critical review score on the website has zero effect.
Really?
In determining whether people will go see a film or not.
Zero effect?
Zero effect.
I would have thought small, but at least some.
The data and analyticals project, USC's Entertainment Technology Center, showed there was no correlation between a Rotten Tomatoes score and a movie's box office take. Neither positive nor negative. People simply do not use the website as a tool to judge whether they're going to see a movie or not. Then what's the point of it?
What
Why are
they
we wasting
doing?
Our time?
Yeah. Is that just the critic score, or is that
it's
the
critical score. They take an aggregate of all the critics around.
But then they
the
also
country.
Have a viewer score, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
exactly. Maybe both, people are looking at that? I don't know. I just get confused. Is green, red, which one's which?
Red,
that's
red
the part
is good.
I don't get. Right? Is it?
Red is ripe.
Sure. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think you are at all. Good news for Wonder Woman fans. Patty Jenkins is back. She has been signed to direct the sequel
Sweet.
To Wonder Woman. The film is projected to be in theaters December 13th, 2019. So circle your calendars. That's the release date. It's December 13th, 2019. And while we're talking about directors, it looks like Star Wars 9 finally has a new director. You know, they lost the guy who directed Jurassic World. He was supposed to do it, and they gave him the old boot. He wasn't getting along with the powers that be over there at Star Wars Central. You ever see their headquarters, Star Wars
I did
Central?
Not.
Oh, yeah, it's a big, tall building right there in the middle of town. So they've been looking for a new director, and there's been a lot of speculation. Who will it be? Will Ron Howard, who's directing Han Solo, also step over and direct Star Wars 9? Who will step in? Who will fill the shoes? Well, it looks like we're all in good hands, because J.J. Abrams has been tapped to come back. He kicked things off for us, and now he's going to round up at least this initial trilogy by also directing number 9, which is an excellent choice, and I think we all can sleep better now knowing that we're in good hands.
It's Rian Johnson, right?
Rian Johnson, yes.
Is he the only one that has kind of remained unscathed? He was hired, and he's finishing it out, besides JJ. I feel like every other movie has been a ton of changes. He's doing Last Jedi, so he was from the get-go.
Right.
And through the end. I feel like no one else was. They've been having issues with everyone.
Yeah, well, they're very protective over their properties. And they tend to manage those films fairly carefully. Kathleen Kennedy and the rest of the people who came over from Lucasfilm are very protective of that franchise. And they've got a very specific idea of how they want things to go. And if you don't provide that to them, they are not shy about saying, we'll find somebody else.
Yeah. Sounds like J.J. Abrams is perfect.
Because even the Rogue One guy, they had to do some reshoots and stuff and fix that.
Mm-hmm.
That film a little bit.
Han Solo?
Yeah, Solo, they booted those two guys. Lord and
Taylor. Your Highness?
Lord and Lady? The two guys!
The two guys,
from the Mego film.
Uh-huh. Right.
Not the Mego film, the Lego film.
Right, Lord and
Miller.
Miller. That's it. Take a look at celebrity birthdays today. Today, September the 12th, not December the 12th at all, September the 12th, 2017, birthday for these folks, Neil Peart, I'm being told. It's Peart.
Is it Peart?
Not Peart.
It's Peart.
Not Pert.
Peart.
Not Peart.
Peart.
Peer.
Peart.
Peart. It's like peer with a T.
You might know him from
He is 65 years old today. Busy Bone of Bone Thugs Harmony, 40 years old. Hans Zimmer is 59. Benjamin McKenzie from Gotham, of course. Commissioner Gordon, 38 years old. Louis C.K. is 49. Emmy Rossum is 31 years old today. Jennifer Hudson's 35. And 2 Chainz, the rapper, turns 39. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38. And time for one last check of the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Reminder, folks, Sunday night in Brea, if you're down there in Orange County, I'd love to have you come join me and Kevin Smith, writer-director, Rock on Tour,
is going to
take the stage once again for Hollywood Babylon there at the Improv in Brea, California. That'll be Sunday night. And then the following Sunday, we'll be in Oxnard, California at the Improv.
So no!
Come on out and join us, won't you? You're nice if you do.
Nope.
If you don't, you're Kevin, right?
Hey now.
Yeah. Let's use that.
Let's not use that
as a noun.
I don't think that needs to happen. I'm not a fan of that.
I want to give you something because you're nice people. Trailer Park Boys. Love these fellas.
Yay!
If you're familiar with this Canadian comedy, you know how awesome it is. My buddy John Torrance is on this show from Joe Schmo fame. Very, very funny guys, and they are taking their show on the road. They're doing a tour. It's going to end up at the Orpheum Theater here in Los Angeles on December 5th, just in time for the holidays. And appropriately, too, because the name of their tour is Trailer Park Boys. Dear Santa, go F yourself. Yep.
Oh, no.
Orpheum Theater, December 5th. If you'd like to see the Trailer Park Boys, 3 lucky winners right now. You can get through at 1-800-520-1067. First 3 callers will get a pair of tickets to go see the Trailer Park Boys. Dear Santa, go F yourself.
That's nice.
They're all there. Ricky, Julian, Bubbles, Randy, they'll all be there.
One of my favorite things about Trailer Park Boys is when you search them, the top searches, are the Trailer Park Boys real life?
They are not real life. They are very talented comedians and actors. It's a mockumentary. It's shot like that, but it's not real life.
Love it.
Just so you know. You know, it is real life. Star Wars! That really happened a long time ago in a galaxy far away.
I mean, it didn't technically really happen.
It did happen.
Okay, it did. It did, right.
God. That's a lot of people were worried when Colin Trevorrow was booted off of Star Wars Episode 9. A lot of people wondering who would take over, who would step in, who would save us and bring this trilogy of films home.
M. Night Shyamalan?
Bite your tongue.
How dare you.
Thank God we're in good hands. The man who awakened the Force.
Tyler Perry?
Oh, Medea Star Wars, can you imagine? J.J. Abrams.
All right.
He's returning to complete the sequel trilogy as writer and director of Star Wars Episode 9.
When does that come out? Is that this... the end of this year?
That will be so much this
that's
year.
That's horrible.
Next year.
Probably the, we're probably 2019.
2019?
Probably what we're looking at.
Okay.
Boy, you want everything right away, don't you?
I really do, actually.
Well, it's good news. J.J. Abrams is going to be taking us home with that third film. You know that in the old days, Lucas said there was going to be 9 films.
Right.
So this, in the old days, would have been the finale of the Star Wars story. But they have since changed their tune, and now it's just going to go on and on.
Which I'm fine with.
Star Wars films forever. Allie, you're okay with that, right?
I am.
I thought you would be.
Maybe not so much some of the standalones, but I'll still accept them.
Oh, come on!
I'm just saying.
You want your Jabba the Hutt movie? I know you do.
I do not at all. No one does.
You guys a little too quiet, Solo.
A whole movie?
A whole movie of that.
Solo.
No one needs that.
You
guys
need it.
This is why you fail.
Mark Hoppus of Blink 182. He's nice. He's helping raise some money so that the ASPCA can find homes for dogs that are affected by Hurricane Harvey. You know, you forget about these hurricanes. A lot of these dogs get left behind, or they get separated from their owners, or they get misplaced.
Yeah, true.
So you got to find homes for them. And to help with that, there's a new digital album called Dog Songs that's available on Bandcamp.com. And Mark Hoppus of Blink has one of those songs on that album. He wrote it just for the album. It's called Not Every Dog Goes to Heaven. Because some dogs are dicks, and we established that earlier. Some dogs are just dicks. This particular dog he's talking about is the one from National Lampoon's Vacation. Remember the one who peed in the picnic basket?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And it gets tied to the back of the car?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He can't keep up.
He cannot keep up. He gets dragged for many miles in that. Spoilers. Anyway, here's Mark's song dedicated to the dog from the National Lampoon Vacation. All I wanted was a happy family. Then he peed in the picnic basket. Ultimate block. I'm a child from my cousin Eddie. Tied you up to the car behind me. You could not keep up. You could not keep up. Not every dog goes to heaven. Thinking you're such a drag. Sometimes you just have it coming. 80s Chevy Chase was rad.
He was. We all loved him.
That's true.
He was rad.
When did he turn?
Chevy Chase?
Yeah.
2000s?
Maybe.
Community?
He was good for a while.
Community. Did you ever see Karate Dog?
Karate Dog? No.
There's some Karate Dog?
No.
2004's Karate Dog?
That's a movie?
Where Chevy Chase is the voice of a talking dog who also knows how to use karate?
No.
And he fights John Voight?
That's not a thing, first of all.
So much. It's a thing.
Just, but it isn't.
You don't know the magic of Karate Dog.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Absolutely a thing.
Karate Dog.
And he helps a detective, voiced by Simon Rex,
find the murderer of his master, played by Pat Morita.
Come on now, you're just...
Pat Morita teaches the dog karate.
I mean, that fits.
Right? Sure. Wax on, wax off.
Sure.
Cho-Cho. Dog's name is Cho-Cho. And Chevy Chase is the voice of Cho-Cho. You don't know.
It's not a thing.
So much a thing. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Neil Peart, 65 years old today. He is the drummer for a band called Rush!
Pretty good air drumming here, Ralph.
Goddamn right it is.
You have a drummer boner right now?
I do. I got a busy boner, too. It's his birthday, Busy Bone. Bone Thugs and Harmony is 40 years old today. Hans Zimmer, 59 years old. Benjamin McKenzie, such a nice guy every time he comes in here, 38 years old. Louis C.K. is 49. Emmy Rossum's 31. Jennifer Hudson is 35. I wonder what Jay Hutz is up to. Jay Hutz!
Hey, Jay Hutz!
Jay Hutz!
Jay Hutz! Can I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz? Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz!
Can I sing a song for you?
Even if she heard him, she wouldn't know who he's talking about.
I wonder what song he would have sung. She said, yeah, go ahead.
You sing.
And 2 Chainz, the rapper's 39 today. And Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Take your Ralph, SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home starting at 5 p.m. on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's Wednesday, so that means the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices,
Boom!
Which everyone loves.
Yep.
We've also got Pamela Adlon from Better Things Season 2, and Ashley Escada comes on the program to tell us about the iPhone 8. The big announcement is today, plus your tickets for USC and Prophets of Rage in the HD Radio Sound Space tomorrow morning on an all-new show.